Corinthians chapter 4, and basically what I want to do is cover some of the stuff that I had talked about I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 10, cover some of the things that I had mentioned in our New Year's Eve service. And I'm sorry. And to really begin to try to trust the Lord this year for some personal help for individuals who have, you know, done great over the years and have really continued with the Lord, but may have areas that are sort of holding them back a little bit. And to utilize your help in doing this instead of just the leadership hearing from the Lord. And the way that we can utilize your help in doing this is when someone shares, me, Jim, Scott, anybody shares, to be ready to jot down anything that comes to your mind that the Lord says, you know, that like the dove lands on a particular thing, write that down. You know, well, that might apply to me. And on some of our Sunday nights, to be able to just sort of gather in a group and discuss some of these things a little further and try to bring about some breakthroughs this year. Now, you know, it may sound funny to some people, but, you know, we're not talking about people with serious problems in the way that most Christians would think of serious problems. We're talking about people who are basically doing good in many, many areas, but they feel like there's one area that's like, I use the example of a branch sticking on your clothes and you're trying to go forward and it's pulling you back. And Paul said he had not yet attained. So I assume if he hadn't yet, then we'd probably need a little more help. It's just a thought that we also have not yet attained, and we all can use some help and some areas of clarification in the Lord to help us in these things. Some of the questions that I wrote down is, do you want to be closer to the Lord? And is that a true desire of your heart? The other was, is there a you that you desire to become in the Lord, in the Lord, but never seem to fully reach it? And we understand that that's Christ, that's the life of Christ within us, but, you know, never forget that the hope of glory is not just Christ. The hope of glory is Christ in you. That since the resurrection, he doesn't think of himself apart from you. We're his body. We are the body of Christ. We have to begin to take that viewpoint beyond a theological view that we have embraced doctrinally into a walk and a weapon that we're able to use when the enemy begins to try to separate one of the sheep from the flock, one of the members from the body, and make you something separate from what Jesus is in your own mind. You know, begin to beat on you a little bit. And then another question I said is, do you agree with the teachings, meaning the revelation of Christ and the old man is dead and Christ in you and all of those things? Do you agree that they are the truth and the answer for change, but they are not as effective in your life as you had hoped they would be? And if that's the case, then we need to hear from the Lord. If it really is the truth and the truth will make you free, then we need to hear some specifics from the Lord. We need to hear some things. And then a phrase that I used in the New Year's Eve service I'm sorry about my throat. It hadn't been this bad in a while. Was soul detox. That there are, you know, you can you can realize that you've been eating a lot of stuff you shouldn't have through Thanksgiving and Christmas and da 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 da, and you go, I need to go on a detox for my body because I'm, you know, I need to clean all this junk out and start eating healthy again. Well, I think that that can build up in our soul also. And that can be, I use the terms toxic thoughts, but a lot of times emotions are tied with these things too. And the answer is that we need to replace them with God's word and with his thoughts. Now, this is not a new area for us, but what I have observed over the years is that there are things that we learned in our early walk with the Lord that were effective on certain areas, like not going by feelings and by, you know, walking by faith and the Word of God and all of those basics that we're never really supposed to leave either, you know. To grow into the knowledge of the Lord and the depth of the Lord and the revelation of Christ does not do away with certain things that may not seem as, I mean, obviously those things are not going to be on the throne. Jesus is going to be on the throne. Yes, Jesus is the highest. But there are things that we learn that I think that we tend to start getting more depth of Christ and knowing him, and it's wonderful. I mean, if you're really, really seeing the Lord, it's just incredible. But it doesn't mean leaving certain things that are still true and that you can actually start using in relationship to the revelation of Christ. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're not walking by feelings. We're not walking by, you know, simple, you know, learning to forgive. And a lot of that stuff was earth-shattering to somebody who just came out of the world and is born again and in the Lord now. And it can be just as earth-shattering when applied to the revelation of Christ, when applied to Christ. But I just think that it's possible I'm going to use a weird example, but it's like in the water going so deep that it never stirs the surface. You know, nothing, you know, it's like, good, we're deep. We don't want to be surface, but it still needs to move the surface. Yes. You know what I mean? It still needs to affect the outward, is basically what I'm saying. There needs to be ripples in our outward. And I worry about people. I worry about you. I worry about others as a shepherd because personally, I believe these things are the answer. And I believe that there are ways and means of overcoming in them, but if they're not attached to actual practical applications, the way we think, the way we respond, if it's not applied there, if it's just assumed that knowing that automatically makes everything spiritual, I think that's wrong. I just think it's wrong. And, you know, a phrase that we've used and that is involved with our website and an understanding between many of the different groups that are part of us is Christ as life, knowing Christ as life. Well, folks, that's completely different than knowing Christ as the answer of the volume of the book. Behold, in the volume of the book it is written of me. Well, that's true. But knowing page after page, you know, the real meaning of all of that and not Christ being formed as life, as our life, is going to allow some real problems in our life and in our relationships. And and to believe that to receive all of that, even from the Holy Spirit on that level, in that plane, but not letting it really affect your emotional life or your thought life as far as issues is not what God wants. I mean, you know, we talk about Jesus changed me. You know, Jesus changed me. But in truth, if Galatians 2:20 is true, then I am crucified with Christ. Not a doctrine of that. You know, and this is what I believe. I believe in Galatians 2:20, when Paul was talking about I am crucified with Christ, I believe that he wasn't trying to purvey a doctrine. He wasn't trying to communicate a doctrine. This is your doctrinal teaching. I think he was talking about himself. Look, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not me, it's Christ. He's not going now, doctrinally, this is how we need to believe together as a group. You know, he's going, I'm telling you the impact of Christ and the cross on me, and it's I am crucified and Christ is my life. You see, it's other than, you know, pointing to a couple of pieces of wood and saying, well, the impact of when Jesus died for me was that, you know, I was changed or I'm made better or even that I'm going to heaven or, you know, not going to go to hell. He emphasized way more the fact that Jesus lived in him and that the change was Jesus, not from Jesus. All right. We know these things doctrinally. And we know them experientially in some areas. Do you agree that there are areas that we've seen the Lord in this? But but my heart cries out for Jesus. Amen. More of Jesus. Less of me. And not just because of my failures. Because he's worth it. Because he's beautiful, because he's desirable in my heart. And so what the Holy Spirit has to begin to do between now and the end of the year is to soften our heart and to say, you know, not in some sort of guilt way, I need you, Jesus, but in some sort of a passion that says, I want you. Not just I desire you, I want you. And I'm willing to make some steps this year. And don't think whatever, you know, don't be ridiculous and think that whatever problems you have, they'll be gone at the end of the year. But some of them can be. Amen. There can be progress. Okay? And don't think just the opposite of that is, and that is the toxic thought is, I have tried and tried and I fail and I've given up hope and I've given up trying and now I've just settled into blindly going with the cattle, you know, the herd moving along, you know, let's go here and let's go here. Man, we should never lose our passion for Jesus. And one scripture I quoted, though we didn't look it up on New Year's Eve, was, and you know what? Let me read this one and then we'll go there. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. All right. Some weeks or months back, I'd mentioned that I felt like we'd lost the spirit of battle, if you know what I mean. That there is a war. But it's not with carnal weapons. It's not with carnal weapons. And this scripture begins to spell that out. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Why didn't it say mighty from God? You know, it's a difference between driving past a tunnel and that tunnel giving you the ability to do something or driving through it. Being in it and through him, through Jesus, these things be real. And this isn't talking about theology right here. This really has nothing to do with theology. This has something to do with how we can relate to Jesus in a manner that will affect us. And I know that by Christ's life, we have been more concerned with others, God and others. I understand Christ in you. I understand his reaction. But as your pastor, as one that cares, I want to cover you, and I want us to begin to at least give this year to not introspection, but to realize that there's a warfare and there are weapons and they're through God, and that God's with us, and that he's initiating this year. For you and for me and for the kingdom. Yes, for the kingdom and for others and for, you know, the 2020 vision and all that. But how can I as a pastor have any vision, you know, to the year 2020 or whatever else, if I see you struggling with stuff year after year and real and don't say, okay, stop, this flock is stopping and we're going to take some time for you. And in the process, you take some time to hear from the Lord. And if in all of these talks and sharings and things, you get something, write it down so that when we go beyond lecture, we can actually talk about valid things, you know? And, you know, it's a, for me now, you know, I know, but for me, it's a little bit like not just being the pastor, but a doctor. And then we come together and nobody tells me any symptoms. It's like, okay, well, maybe you got pneumonia and maybe it's smallpox and maybe your feet itch. I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, a Band-Aid is completely different than an aspirin. And honestly, on my part, it is genuinely because a care from the Lord comes out of my heart for you. And I just want to see some progress for your sakes, for your relief, for your help, and for your peace of mind. And I believe that it is easy to slip into a place where you've tried and you've tried and you've tried, and not to see any results. But there are things that are meant to keep us from coming to hopelessness. He goes on to say here, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Maybe the Lord would lead you to say the Old Testament, the life of David and his mighty men representing David, representing Christ and his mighty men representing his body. Man, you ought to see all of the victories that he won. You know, I mean, this guy beat the enemy and didn't matter who over and over and over and over and over. You can read it. I mean, it's just amazing. But he came again. I mean, the first... Once he became king, the first stronghold that he had to take was Jerusalem, where Joshua didn't drive him out of the heart of Israel, but David did. Were they saved with Joshua out of Egypt? Yeah. That's just another picture of Jesus as Joshua bringing him out, or Moses and Joshua bringing him out and bringing him in. But David represents another aspect of the Lord being able to go against strongholds that nobody else could take down. So maybe the Lord would move your... I don't want to dictate a plan and everything. Everything that I'm, for the most part, have been saying up here, I didn't even try to prepare because I wanted the Lord to speak and I wanted it to be from the heart because I believe that this is from the Lord, and I believe it's for your sakes, and I believe it's going to happen, even though in the early going, you know, I mean, I don't, some of you may not be in this place, but there may be some who are just going, man, you know, I've been through this before, I've tried this or whatever. But I'm telling you, hopelessness is just going to be a wall that'll keep you from, you know, there has to be somewhere where a little seed of faith and that, and faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word. But doesn't say faith comes by the word. It says faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word. We leave out the hearing. We just read the word and we go, well, you know what I mean? And think that somehow it's going to spring up and there is no real hearing. Therefore, there's no springing up of life. And so we go, well, you know. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to this church. And let us protect that word and treasure it and say, you know, Lord, you know, I mean, the thing that I feel, and maybe you do already or will, is I feel a gratefulness and a deep thankfulness that He loves you. I feel His love and His desire to draw you up to Him more and to not, you know, it's like you've been faithful to get into the Word and say, I just want to see Jesus. I'm not, you know, even that song that I wrote, I set myself to worship you, not to get free, nor just for me, but just for you. He knows your heart has been going after Him and putting Him first. But I think He wants to just draw you up and just say, okay, now I want to take some time for you. You know? And thank you for your, you know, I can hear Him saying that. Thank you for your selflessness to put me first. But now, this is my movement. And this is my time for your sake. And so this thing of strongholds is different. You know, I mean, defeating different places is one thing, but Jerusalem, the heart, the core, boy, it was called the Jebusite stronghold. The Jebusites, nobody, and all the kings and all of the men of God that came before David, nobody could drive them out when David did. And one of the words that the Lord gave to Israel was, I will defeat the enemy, your enemies, by the hand of David. Okay? Maybe we've been looking to Joshua. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You know, Joshua still Jesus, representing Jesus, but in a different aspect. And Joshua didn't do it, couldn't do it. And we go, well, it's almost like, well, Jesus is inadequate. No, Joshua was mighty in the areas that he was supposed to be. He brought him in. The Jordan River rolled back. He took down Jericho and Ai and all of the ones after that. But it's going to take the David aspect of the Lord to take the strongholds that the Jebusites have of Jerusalem. And David started with that, but Joshua didn't start with that. Okay. What does all that mean? You know what? I don't know, and I don't think you know all that that means. I think that's part of what the Lord's saying. Quit thinking you know it all. Quit going to Scripture and say, oh, I know that Scripture and this and that and this and all, you know? And let's just say, let's just be as little children. And say, I don't know it all. You know, I mean, you called me to get up here in your lap, so you're my father, so I'm going to tell you, I don't know it all. And even the stuff that I know is probably standing in my way of getting to you in a real way.
That's right.
I'm coddling my knowledge of you. casting down strongholds. And then he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All right. So this is every thought. So that means that there are many different kinds of toxic thoughts that you never get detoxed unless you deal with the different ones, not just with the familiar, but to have the Lord reveal the unfamiliar. I don't know what that is, and you don't either. You say, I'm going to keep saying this kind of stuff. But the Lord does, and the Lord cares. And if we approach this right, we'll see results. And if we don't, if we get all religious and super spiritual, you know, to me it's like, okay, we're Israel, we're the land, and he's walking through the land, taking the land. Is there one place in the land I really don't want the Lord to take? There may be.
That's right.
You know? And as you know, I mean, I've shared it many times. That's where we have to say, Lord, I'm not willing, but I'm willing that if you can make me willing, where I'm with, you know, all of a sudden I'm with you. But right now I'm not. But instead of saying yes to what you're asking of me, I'm saying yes to my openness that if you can change me to say yes. You see? And guess what? He's well able to do that. But this requires us casting down. You see, in other words, I'll just hit on it lightly right now, but one of the most common enemies that I think many of us have is in relationship to our identity in Christ. And that's not, and again, I'm not talking theologically. I think probably everybody in our church has that down theologically, but we don't have it down when it comes to real world situations. Or we don't have it down in every area. You know, because, I mean, we have made a lot of progress. We are doing good. It's not like we're doing bad. This isn't a time where the Lord's trying to rebuke us and straighten us out because we're such a bad church. This is a time where he's been blessed by our focus on other things. And because of that, he says, I'm going to take care of you now. But there are these thoughts. And with them come emotions. I mean, it's like a... Who was it? Mallory used the thing of the little foxes. To me, it's like a greyhound dog running through, and he's the thought, and all the little foxes are all these little emotions that are running after it and running together, you know, but kind of behind and go, you know. And a lot of times that has to do with, you know, Lord help me, everything from unworthiness to being down on ourselves in some way, to being a failure, to being, not really one with the Lord, like we're, you know, I'm not functioning as one with you, or everything that is negative, not about everybody else, but about ourselves. Folks, there are thoughts that run in your mind. I know all of us have times when stuff comes up. And we'll have to deal with this area in more detail. But the bottom line is, what we need to do this first of all, just obey this scripture. You know, not because we see the depth of Christ here, but because it's written, as it is written. Behold, it is written. And I'm a Christian, I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. And it doesn't come easy. Because in many cases, some of us are so far beyond it being a habit. It's a lifestyle. And especially when you have that thought and then all these emotions hit you. There was a certain, and I've tried to explain this before, and but there's a certain sort of vein where my thought life would go when I was down and out, or you know, you can get tired or weary, worn, or you know, just it's like down and out. Though it's like Israel going through the wilderness, trying to get to the promised land, and the Amalekites come and attack, and they always came to the rear of the thing because all the that were young and with child and weak and tired and worn out were sort of dragging towards the end, and that's the ones that they would attack, and that's the enemy. You know, that's the enemy trying to get you at that point where you've been. Maybe you were at the front for a long time, but you sort of got tired, and you know, people are passing you by. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, you're sort of at the back, going like this. You know, and for me, there would be these thoughts of unworthiness, and I know, you know, I mean, everything from being an orphan to the junk that I went through. So all this stuff, you know, would come. But there was for me, there was a certain feeling that after years and years of that, I would recognize, it was almost like a poison that would start in my system. And I would just feel so negative against myself, not just think that, but feel it. And by the grace of God, there came a time when I began to stand against it and say, you know what? I'm in Christ. Christ is my life. I'm dead. I'm, you know, all the things that we know doctrinally. But I started taking them out of the pigeonholes of doctrine and shoving them into my life and into the face of the enemy when, you know, this is what the Word of God says and this is who I am. And, I mean, it was a warfare then, you know. And war is not fun. You know, just filling your pigeonholes with deep doctrines can be fun. Oh, look what I got today. That one goes in the, you know what I mean? We go, oh, I'm doing so good until the enemy hits you with something. And then you go down. But anyway, so I started resisting it. And then that's when I started noticing that it felt a little bit like, you know, how if you're going to run or you get in a scared situation or something, adrenaline hits you, you know what I mean? And you just all of a sudden, you know, well, it felt like that, but it was different. It wasn't the same feel, but it was like something shooting through my system. Like a physical release of something that caused me to feel a certain way. And after a while, I noticed it and I went, oh my God, this. And even sometimes I couldn't tell if this particular thought was the enemy that I was supposed to be casting down or something. You know what I mean? Because we're just going along sometimes and we're not. I couldn't tell, but that feeling would come with it. And I knew that feeling was connected with that stuff, and I attached it to the thought, and I went, uh-oh. I was allowing something to go here, and I dealt with it like a serpent, like a snake. I didn't pet it or whatever. I said, this is not the knowledge of God. This is not this is not my knowledge, the knowledge of God. You know, it's clearly not my knowledge in real life situations, because I'm not going with that. I've been going with the enemy or going with the, you know, because the enemy, warfare implies an enemy. And when I say going with the enemy, I don't mean joining sides with him. I mean letting him defeat, you know, one of the members that's in the army. And, you know, I was a medic when I was in the army, and And one of the things that the enemy would do is there were several, you know, you got all of these guys out there on the field. They're all fighting and they're all standing. But the enemy knew that there were certain people to get. Number one, they would look for the officer stripes or whatever that they had that was showed that they were an officer because they were a leader that would lead you into this stuff. Try to kill him. The other one is they would look for the antenna because they would cut off your communication. If they can kill your radio man, then you're cut off from all communications with anything larger than yourself, and you're just a little group alone surrounded by the enemy. You know what I mean? And the other one was they looked for that medic bag, and they tried to kill you because you would get people back up on their feet and get them going again. You know. Well, sometimes you have to be your own medic. You do. So, you know, it's like, nope, there's no one else around to tell you, get up, soldier. Get up and let's go. Move it, move it. There's nobody else that's encouraging that, you know. You know, when I'm tired, get up. You know, anybody ever see Gomer Pyle? Get up, Gomer. Anyway, we have to learn to do that. We have to flow with the Spirit as He does it. We have to allow the Lord to do that. We have to allow the Father to do it. We have to be one with that mind. And we have to, you know, and the example, you know, I've also given it, David at Ziklag. Man, everybody turned against him at that point. All of his mighty men turned against him. And the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God and ended up turning the whole situation because he went out against the enemy that had done this and got back all that was stolen. He didn't, you know, if you remember the story, they were off on their thing, look, you know, fighting the Philistines and this and that. And some enemies came to Ziklag where they had all their stuff and all their supplies and their women and children, all this stuff. And the enemy came and took all of that, stole it, took off. So David and all of his men come back and they go, oh my God, our wives, our possessions, all that we've owned. And, you know, they're on the run anyway, so they don't have much. And they go, ah! So they go, you did! You know, they turn to the leadership, which is Jim. And they turn to the leadership and they say, yeah, this is your fault because, and if we hadn't have gone out and died, you know, who knows what all this is. It's not even important, is it? But it is toxic thoughts. And sometimes they come into your own head and sometimes they come through other people's mouth. Right? And David could have gone, they hate me, you know. Or just fallen in a heap. But instead, first, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Encourage yourself. Lord, you are with me. This is your life. This is your plan. We're about your business. This isn't right. Guys, get up. We're going after those guys. And they went and got it. And they not only got, because this was like a roaming band of marauders that was taking stuff from everybody. When they caught up to them, they got their stuff and a whole bunch more. Okay, well, we go, well, why did the Lord bless sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so? Because they got not just what they had, but more. And I don't have nothing. Well, because you're sitting in a heap whining and you won't encourage yourself in the Lord your God. No, I mean, that is part of it. This is just one little aspect. There are so many little things that we have to discuss. But I felt the Lord wanted me to sort of address in this area and to realize that this stuff can come from outside other people or just within ourselves, which, you know, we are our worst enemy. We are. Because we allow the enemy to plant those thoughts and to, You know, for example, if the Lord uses someone else or does something, you know, we say, well, you know, they've been really faithful and spiritual. And folks, God doesn't operate off of that kind of stuff. He is equal to all. But there has to be an openness on your part. You have to say, you know what? I don't deserve anything. I'm a wretch, but Jesus is not that way. He loves us all equally, and he wants to use me, and instead of me whining that he's using somebody else, Lord, here am I. I love that picture in Isaiah. I love it where he goes, you know, basically the old wretched man that I am picture, you know, and he says, I am a man of unclean lips, and he's talking about how bad he is. And then the Lord says, well, who will go? This immediately after that, who will go for me and whom shall I send? And he goes, I will. Well, you and me would have gone, not me. I just saw how wretched I am. I can't be used. We wouldn't even think to go, send me, you know. Not because I'm perfect, not because everything's right, but because God, and this is the thing, in the book of Hebrews 11, where it talks about all the heroes of faith. Ever read that? You know, Abraham, and he only mentions all the good stuff he did. I mean, the man had Ishmael, for God's sake. He doubted God and was looking other places. He messed up. He didn't believe, on and on and on. It's not even mentioned. God doesn't even put it in there and doesn't go, well, he did this right, but you know what? You know, and then it goes on down to Samson. You know? And he calls him a hero of faith. You know? But us, oh yeah, we never forget. You know, we might forget what the Word of God says. We might forget the encouragement the Lord gave us 2 years ago. But we'll never forget our failures. I'll remember that, you know. And in remembering that, that is giving the enemy the right to be able to tell us that you are not worthy of being used or worthy of walking, getting free from this stuff. You know, well, you know, here it is. Well, you brought this on yourself. You know, yeah, I did. I'm a mess, but Christ is my life, for God's sake. I can't live in that. I've got to be one with Jesus because he made it so. And it'd break his heart if I don't live in this manner with him. You know, but see, you get so deep in that, you go, it doesn't break his heart. He's glad I'm going away. You know, yeah, I mean, he just wants me to leave. Okay, I'll leave, you know. And we think Jesus is going, thank God they're leaving. He's not. He's not. You know, like that scripture says, God hates divorce. And what we do is we look at people who've been married and then get a divorce and something and point the finger at them. But even in that spirit, we're divorcing ourselves from the spirit and the life of the Lord. He hates divorce because he wants us with him. That's a shadow. We're violating the very real thing.
Yes, that's right.
You say, where do you get that from? Let's see, Romans 7, check it out. I won't go over it, but not just the part about, you know, but the part about being married to another and until you're dead and all that stuff. So you find out if that's not true. That when he looks at this, he's looking at something way more important to him. He's looking at his bride that is acting separate, thinking separate, that won't rush to him and say, I am with you, and I cling to you, and I believe that you love me. You know? And I do. I think there's something to be said about saying stuff like that. We say, well, there's power in the tongue. Well, for sure that's true. James tells us that. In a negative way. But more importantly, I think there's something about manifesting what we believe by saying it. I believe that when you release that, there's more to be able to have that become true in you than if you just, you know. And here's the deal. A lot of times when we're in that state of being beat down and whatever, we're too busy talking about what's not true, what the enemy says is true, instead of saying, this is what I believe, you know. I am one with Jesus. Christ is my life, you know. And I was blessed pretty earlier in my walk to have a devastating situation happen where my wife and I left a particular church. The Lord told us to not to leave, but to go unto Him. And we did. And it was a group that we'd been with from the foundation of our salvation and people that we loved and honored. And it was so hard because it was the Christian family that we had known almost from birth, you know. And when we left, man, the Lord withdrew all feelings from me of almost every sort. And the only thing I could call up of doctrine, because all the great depth that I knew, I found out that it was all in pigeonholes. It's pretty much worthless when you're really in a crisis like that. The only thing I could call up was, I'm dead and Christ is my life. And everything else of feeling that would make me feel like I was okay or with the Lord or all right, He withdrew. But He didn't withdraw the ability to feel. And by the way, how much time have I got left back there?
13 minutes.
Okay. He didn't withdraw the ability to feel because I felt like I was lost and separated from God, like God had left me, had forsaken me. He hadn't at all. As a matter of fact, it was going to get really good later, but I needed to pass through this with Him. Every day, constantly, I'm dead, and Christ is my life. And that's in the face of wicked, wicked demons and feelings trying to separate me and get me off of this ground of, you have been delivered from darkness. Not you're gonna be. You have been. And you have been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Can it get any better? No, but He wouldn't give me any feelings with that. You know what I mean? Because you can have feelings that come with that and go, yeah, you know. And most of the oomph then is our feelings and our reactions to the Lord. He wouldn't give me any feelings to it. He just said, I want you to now live with me in the reality that you know I believe. And I can't, and since you're such a little wah-wah, I can't give you too many things. So I'm only going to give you, you're dead, and Christ is your life. And that wasn't in my head, even there, but in the core. I can't even call it my heart. So deep that I knew that again, no feelings, but I knew, you know, this storm will pass, but this is not going to pass. This is what I'm holding on to in the midst of all of this. And God blessed me with that experience. And it went on for a good little while for me. But it was a break with feelings after that. I mean, a break with needing feelings from God that said, you know, that had to convince me of things that God is with me. God is with me. If nothing else, the Word of God says that it's true. I will never leave you or forsake you. In the original Greek there is, I will not leave you as an orphan. I got everything in the world coming at me, feelings and thoughts telling me that that's not true, that I'm not worth anything, that of course, you know, He left me. Everybody else that I've loved has, so that's got to be the case. No, it's not the case. That core is holding me until, you know. And I remember that went on for months. And I remember thinking, are you ever going to speak to me again? Meaning, you know, open the word, you know what I mean? And you see something good from the Lord that you didn't hear in a sermon, but you got from the Lord, and you go, yeah. You know what I mean? Are you ever going to speak to me again? No response, just hold steady. Hold that rudder steady. You're dead, and my son is your life. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. The first time, after a long period of time, the first time that the Holy Spirit did blow across the pages of the Word of God and across me like a warmth in the air after the winter's going, you know, and you feel that warmth that's in there and it touches you and just, I admit it, I cried. Because we're still human and we still have a soul. And God's not trying to get rid of our soul. He's just trying to detox it. You know? Mary said, my soul proclaims the beauty of the Lord and my spirit exalts in God, my Savior. Didn't say, I only have something going on in my spirit. And so I cried. I wept hard and I just thought, you know. And I told him, I said, I don't need this, but doggone it, it feels good. I said, if I went by this feeling, this is the most wonderful feeling in the world. But I will not go back to that, Lord. I told him that. I won't go back to that. People, and I've had people even recently say to me, how is it that, you know, you really, I know you have a lot of pain and stuff that you can go through that. I've had to learn not to go by feelings, you know. And I slipped about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a little longer than that, where I started going by feelings and really being hurt and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I even feel bad for some of the sermons I preached during that time because I know they're full of my own hurt and the Lord. But those thoughts and those feelings, you will never, they're like claws with that are metal claws that have ropes on them that are stuck into us and they're keeping us from going forward. And you can dig deeper to see more of the depth of the Lord all you want, but ultimately you must stand with the Lord. And that was the other one that we were going to go to, was Ephesians chapter 6. And again, I mentioned this the other night, but only in passing. It's talking about the whole armor of God. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, well, that's the beginning of that. You can forget everything else until you get that settled. You have to let your strength be in the Lord and in the power of his might. You don't say, Lord, you know, strengthen me. You don't say, Lord, empower me. You say, be the power and be the strength of my life. And you learn what the difference is between the theology of that and the way to put that into action in your life where... And God always gives you the opportunity after you learn something to put forth your hand and go against it, to, you know, use your own strength. But he wants you to eventually learn to draw back and go, you know what? I'm trusting you and I could get this done. I could get it done. But I'm not going to do it. I'm going to trust you, Lord. And then as it goes on, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I thought, wow, that's just, you know, that's just not the, you know, I see what it says, Lord, but that's not the way Christianity presents that. They present, put on the whole armor of God that you may totally beat up the devil, rip him one side and down the other, and every enemy, and all you said here is put on the whole armor of God so you can stand against all of that that's coming at you. You know what I mean? And it says that on down. It says that you may be able to stand, and then says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Withstand in the evil day. Withstand is different. Yes, okay, thank you. Withstand is different. To withstand something is not to just run over the top of the enemy. It's like you've got this big shield and there's this big enemy twice your size with a bigger sword, and then he's banging on your shield of faith, and he's hitting it and he's banging. Your knees go down a little bit and everything. But you're withstanding it. You are not giving in to it. You're not just throwing the shield of faith away and going, okay, I'm unworthy. I deserve this. I know. You know, and the devil brings up the things that happened last week that you say brought this on. No, he's not punishing you. Jesus bore our punishment. If you don't get anything else, get this. He's not punishing you. Jesus has borne your punishment. He's trying to get you to stand with him and to withstand with him, believing and not giving up union and giving up oneness and giving up everything that he has communicated to you in Revelation, and with the hope that you haven't pigeonholed that, but that you have put it into your life.
Yes.
We walk by faith, not by sight. So that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. This is the third time it says stand. What do you think the next verse is going to say? Verse 14, stand therefore. You know, it's like, I'm telling you, stand, withstand, stand. Okay, stand therefore. You know, make a stand for the Lord. All of this stuff's coming. You know, fiery darts are coming at you. He didn't say, you know, I'll put you in a magical bubble. A bubble. You know, oh, thank you, Jesus. And this bubble is, you know, I can walk around and it's over me all the time. No, this stuff's coming at you. And those fiery darts will hit you if you don't lift up the shield of faith.
That's right.
You have to do that, okay? All right. Now, when we're at our height and our best and our most spiritual, we probably do that. Do you agree that we probably are somewhat basically doing that? It's when you get weary and tired and you've been beat on for a while. And you just begin to go, it's like you revert to old thoughts and old feelings. And God wants you to keep standing. Just keep stand with me. Stand. And in there may be one little spark of faith and hope. That's what he sees. He doesn't see all the other. He writes it in the Hebrews 11. He says, look at this. Look what they did. You can see his joy over those things. He goes, look. And he describes it in Hebrews. And he did this and that. You know, our minds go, well, most of Samson's life is a flake. For God's sake, what are you putting him in here? He don't deserve it. And the Lord's going, I don't see the way you see. You see every fault. I see only the spark of life. The spark of faith. You know? So stand. Well, I've done everything I know to do. Having done all, stand.
Yes.
That's what it says. You know? Don't surrender to the enemy and the thought. And what is the enemy? Those thoughts, those toxic thoughts and those toxic feelings. All right, so this is just the beginning. This is the first Sunday of the year. But may the Lord be given entrance. into our hearts to free us from more of those things that hold us so that we can run to the Lord. Run without hindrance. Amen. Let's stand together. Well, having done all, let's stand. Father, we just thank you for the Spirit, not for this service alone, but for all that you're going to be doing, and not just services, but in our life and quickening things. And Lord, I just pray right now for your flock, for Jesus, for your flock, that you are the good shepherd and that you love these sheep. And I just pray that you will continue to move in their lives away from this place. And when they're in different situations, that you'll quicken to them that's one of those toxic thoughts that they are supposed to cast down and not agree with. And Father, I just pray that I know that many may not be in a situation right now where they can cast it down, but they can say, this is in my head and I'm not in agreement with it. Lord, give me the strength to cast it now. To see it, Father, is a victory. To see it for what it is a toxic thought, will be a victory. So by whatever authority you've given me and those that are on Skype, I, as a pastor, Lord, I cover them, and I pray for protection and security over them while they do business with you during this year. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will be at work to not just open the Word, open their heart, Lord. And Lord, it's not about seeing more stuff, Lord, to quicken what they have now, to make it life, to make it burst forth in real life situations. And Father, I thank you for their faithfulness over all these years and their love for you. I thank you that you have delivered them from so many things in so many areas, and they have stood with you, Lord, and they have been faithful. And Lord, I can't say enough about these men and women, Lord, but Lord, I know it's in your heart for it to be their time now to break them free from some of these things. So, Father, we dedicate this year to you and to the things that are in your heart, and do the work and bring us more into you in our understanding and in our way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, why don't you go hug a few people and tell them you're glad they're still kicking for Jesus.